In this episode of Startups for the Rest of Us, I speak with Laura Elizabeth about launching her WordPress plugin and getting to 4K in monthly revenue. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 371. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at building, launching, and growing software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Rob.
And I'm Laura.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. Laura Elizabeth, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
So I want to give folks a little bit of background as we dive into your story. For those listening, Laura is a designer. She's a writer, a speaker, and a cross-stitch addict. What exactly is cross-stitch?
It's sewing. So it's where you sew in little crosses and you make up big, beautiful.
Yes, I've seen that.
It's very therapeutic, very fun.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. And when Laura's not teaching developers how to design, she has a site called Design Academy. It's a course that's coming out soon, designacademy.io, or working on her client management product, which we're going to dive into pretty deep today. It's a WordPress plugin called Client Portal. You can find her writing, speaking, or watching Star Trek. And which Star Trek? There's like five of them.
Voyager or Next Generation, usually.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because a year ago, you were consulting full-time, and over the last year, you've launched Client Portal. That's client-portal.io, if folks want to check it out, but it's a WordPress plugin that helps freelancers and agencies interact with their clients and manage their projects. So you launched that. It's now doing about 4K in monthly revenue, and you were telling me before we started recording that it's basically almost single-handedly has changed the value that you're able to bring to clients, and it has allowed you to charge a lot more money and take on fewer projects. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is something that I really wasn't expecting. I launched my first product, which was Client Portal, and it was really only ever meant to be a side project that I was doing. It quite quickly actually became my full-time gig. And what ended up happening was I was sharing all this stuff about Client Portal. I was sharing how I was doing my email course, how I was getting really good conversion rates and all this stuff. And it made my design work, my freelance, you know, consulting work much more valuable. So suddenly people were far more willing to pay me a lot more money to do consulting work. And what was really good is I could then start actually picking and choosing what projects that I would be working on. So I went from having sometimes 5 to 7 projects on at any one time, and having 5 to 7 projects is actually why I ended up making Client Portal, to only taking on about 2 or 3 in the last year. And I've only been taking them on because they were particularly fun to work on or something like that. So yeah, I really wasn't expecting how much valuable making a product and selling a product was going to make me as a consultant.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's that thing, I think there's two facets to that too. One is like you start to develop some kind of, it's almost like a personal brand, or it's people associate, they see a product, they see that it's successful, they see it's well designed, and then they find out that they can hire you to help them with the product. Like, this is a no-brainer, right? It's a portfolio that speaks for itself. And I think the second aspect to that is you talked about you were kind of doing this in public, right? You were talking about it on Twitter. You were talking about your process. And you said that a number of opportunities have come out of that, of people kind of coming out of the woodwork. You want to tell us about, you mentioned a joint venture that you had done recently.
Yeah. So that's really been, I'd say probably the biggest thing I've learned this year is the importance of really building in the open, sharing things in public. And it's something that I still don't actually feel very comfortable doing, because when I post things on Twitter, I post things on Facebook saying, you know, hey, look at what I'm working on. It feels a little bit one-sided, you know, look at me type thing. And I'm a little bit uncomfortable doing that, but it's actually been probably one of the best things that I've done for my business. So to give you an example, I was recently building the UI for an app called Write Message. And I was posting every day in the Write Message Facebook group screens that I'd been designing. So I'd post things about, you know, the features that were happening and just showing previews to customers about what's coming. And I got an email from Robert Williams, who runs Workshop, saying, hey, I've been following what you've been doing in the Facebook group. I really like the designs for Write Message. By the way, how's Client Portal going for you? And we started this email exchange, and we actually ended up doing a joint program where I did my client onboarding email course to his list. And we sort of split the revenue 50-50 when we did the pitch. And we've actually got a webinar booked for January where we're going to do it again, launched to his list of about 10,000 freelancers. And Robert was someone I had on my radar to reach out to because I thought his audience would benefit from Client Portal. But I had no idea that he even knew who I was. And me just sharing the designs that I was doing for Write Message, which is completely separate to Client Portal, ended up actually him coming to me and starting the conversation about pitching and launching to his list. So that was a really cool thing that happened from just sharing things, building things in the open, and just talking about what I'm doing, even though it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of us as creatives, and I include designers, I include a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, and obviously developers in that, I think we're introverted and or don't want to be showy, don't want to feel braggy. And I've often felt that way as well. So I totally sympathize with that. But I think, you know, breaking through that a bit and getting stuff out there, I mean, that's one of the hard things about shipping your first product, right? We, you know, if you take us back to building Client Portal and then like, you know, the day or the week you launched it, what was that experience like? How did that feel emotionally? And then what was the ride like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a whirlwind. So Client Portal was something that I made for myself. Like I mentioned, I had a lot of client projects on at one time, and I really wanted something to help kind of keep those in sync and just somewhere that clients could go to see where we're at the project and see all their deliverables without having to email me and me having to find the files and send them to them. So it was something I made for myself, just a really simple dashboard. And I went to Double Your Freelancing Conference, and I was doing a talk on how to work remotely with clients. And I very, very briefly mentioned that I made this little dashboard for myself. And what happened was, after the conference, Brennan, the organizer, went around the room and said, so what's the number one takeaway from this conference? What's the number one thing you want to go back and implement? And over 50% of people said, Laura's Client Portal was like a eureka moment for me. This is exactly what I need in my business. So I had never intended to sell Client Portal. And that was really what made me think, okay, maybe I should sell this thing. It took quite a long time for me to get the courage to do it. I had a lot of fears, which I imagine most people have. You know, what if no one buys? Or what if, worse, people buy and then they say, this is rubbish, I want a refund, and I'm publicly humiliated. You know, I was really worried that was going to happen. I was like, why would someone pay money for this little thing that I made? So what I did was, I already had an audience of developers, and a lot of them were freelancers anyway. That was for Design Academy, which I think we'll talk about in a while, which is a course for teaching developers how to design. And Brennan said he would launch, if I made Client Portal into a product by, I think, Black Friday, he'd include it in his Black Friday deal. So I literally had like a week to make this into something that I could sell. And where Client Portal was at that time, it wasn't too sellable. It was literally just a HTML template. It wasn't a WordPress plugin. I'm not a developer. There was no way I could have made that happen without hiring someone. So what I did was I tidied up the HTML template a little bit. I created some documentation. I put up a really, I'd say kind of bad, but just a really amateur looking landing page. And I had that done in just a few days. And this was kind of my validation to see whether this product would actually sell. So I launched it to my list. Brennan launched it with his Black Friday deals. And over the course of 3 days, it made just under $10,000. Which was insane.
That's what I was going to say. Did that blow your mind when you saw that?
It was crazy. I was thinking, if I make 3 sales, I'm going to be happy. And I was just, I just couldn't believe it. I was still nervous. I was still thinking, you know, what if people use the product and they don't like it, you know? But really what I was selling is I wasn't selling the product as it was. I was saying, you can buy the HTML template now. I've put together documentation on how you can use it. But what I'm going to do is, over these next few days, I'm going to open up sales and I'm going to close them again. And I'm going to use the revenue to pay for the development of the WordPress plugin. So you're essentially just pre-ordering a WordPress plugin. So that's basically how I ended up launching Client Portal. And it was, yeah, it was a pretty wild ride. I do often think back and wonder whether if I hadn't had the opportunity of Brennan saying, I'll include this in my Black Friday deal if you can get this done by Friday, whether I would have talked myself out of ever selling it. And that thought kind of scares me a little bit because, you know, then I wouldn't be here right now and I'm very, very happy with how it's going. So
yeah, it literally changed the path of like your professional career. Like it leveled you up from freelancing to products, which I imagine is something you'd wanted to get into for a long time. There's so much to be said, like from that story. I'd imagine that when you were first asked to speak at W Freelancing, did you have some second thoughts and thought to yourself, imposter syndrome, what do I have to teach people? I really don't want to get up there and I'm scared, but you decided to do it anyway.
Yeah, I did. So It was kind of interesting. I was very unstrategic when I first started putting myself out there. And like I said, I was freelancing, and it seemed like every successful person I saw was doing something like they were writing a lot. They had a blog, they were doing guest posts, they were going on podcasts, they were speaking at conferences. And I kind of thought, oh, I should probably do that too. I'm not quite sure why, but I feel like this is going to come in handy in the future. So I started doing that. I started writing on Medium, and I was sharing the stuff I was writing on Medium. A editor from SitePoint saw my writing and said, hey, I really like your writing style. Do you want to guest post on SitePoint? So I was like, yeah, sure. So I guest posted on SitePoint. Then somebody from a conference saw my guest post on SitePoint and said, hey, do you want to speak at our conference? I really liked your guest post here. And I said, sure. And then I spoke at that conference, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And suddenly people were like coming to me asking if I wanted to speak at these different conferences. But I really had no reason other than it just felt like something I should be doing for me doing that. And it all sounds quite accidental, and in a way it was. But what I think is really interesting is, and what I'm actually really happy about, is that I was putting myself out there, not necessarily knowing exactly why I was doing it, but I was just testing things. I was just wanting to see what could possibly happen and what could possibly come of it. And just by doing all these experiments, you know, I was speaking at Brennan's conference talking to freelancers. I had nothing to sell. I didn't know I had anything to sell to freelancers at that point. I didn't even know Client Portal was going to be a product, but I did it anyway. And then something came out of that. So I'm really glad that I didn't wait until I had something to sell before testing the waters with these different mediums, because I think that's probably one of the really big reasons, probably the biggest reason that Client Portal took off so quickly. And I say took off, I know like 4K is not necessarily, 4K a month might not be what a lot of people would aim for. They might aim a lot higher. But for me, it was really life-changing. And I really credit that to just putting myself out there early rather than waiting until I had something to sell.
Yep. And I mean, there's a lot of lessons from your journey. You were willing to kind of get over the fear and put yourself out there and do things in public. You said yes to every opportunity that came up, it sounds like. And that's something that some people aren't willing to do. And it's hard to do at first because you're kind of scared. And then each opportunity just led to the next thing and the next thing. And it's this whole bizarre series of events that, you know, again, have essentially changed your professional career. I don't know if it goes too far to say it's changed your life, but I imagine that your life looks a lot different today than it did 12 months ago.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's having the freedom to be able to work. When I was a freelancer, I could always work when I wanted technically, but I did have people, you know, checking in with me, people who needed things by a certain date. So my life's a lot less time restricted now. I feel like I've got a better work-life balance, and I can do things that I really enjoy, like cross-stitch and watch Star Trek in the middle of the day if I want to. Not that I do that very often, but I can, which is really nice.
Yeah, I look at independence or freedom on three axes. There's a mobility or location. There's income, being able to make more money, not necessarily based on just hours worked. And then there's time, which means like during the day or, you know, like you're saying, you have the flexibility of time. And when I first became a consultant, I thought I would have all three of those. And as it turns out, I had income and mobility, but the time thing really bothered me, that clients wanted to be able to talk during the day. You know, it was always like, no, I actually need this time to be a creative. So totally hear you. And I think that's something that a lot of folks trying to get into products actually seek.
Yeah. And it definitely works. I think one thing for me is I found that for some reason I work really well on weekends. I don't know if it's because my email isn't going all the time or Twitter's a bit quieter, but I work so well on weekends. And during the week, I just don't work very well at all. So I usually take off things, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. And back when I was doing client work, I couldn't really do that because I'd be having to check my email every hour or so to see if they needed anything. And I didn't feel like I had as much freedom as I thought I would when I was doing consulting. So that's really the big draw to products for me.
Yep. Yep. Another lesson I feel like, you know, we could take away from your experience there is that Brennan giving you that deadline, like really forced your hand and kind of forced you to ship something, which I think a lot of us resist, right? There's this resistance to shipping because of all the fears of failure and all that stuff. But you shipped something and you were creative with it, right? It's like you couldn't get a WordPress plugin built in 7 days. And so you just pre-sold it, which, you know, I think is a genius move to give folks an idea of the pricing of Client Portal. It's a WordPress plugin. It's $199 for a single site license. And then it's $399 for unlimited sites. After the Black Friday stuff, like what did the next couple of months look like? How long did it take you to find a developer, to get it developed, when you delivered it? What was the reception like? You know, just kind of take us through the timeline a little bit.
Yeah. So after I launched it, it was a little bit underwhelming. So the launch went really good. And I thought, oh, this is it. I'm in products. This is amazing. I can fire all my clients. Not that I would really want to do that, but I thought I'd done it. What happened was after I launched, I started looking for a developer. I found a fantastic developer who's still working for me and for Client Portal today. I just found her by going in different Slack groups. And I can talk a little bit about the process of hiring a developer if you're interested. But what really happened was I got the plugin developed. I was sending it to existing customers. And my focus was really on existing customers because I wanted to, these people had paid me money. They didn't know who I was. And I was really grateful. So I wanted to make sure they had a product that was good as quickly as possible. But then I sort of opened the doors to selling Client Portal again. And because I didn't have that urgency, because I didn't have, you know, this is closing in 3 days and the price is never going to be as good as it is right now because, you know, essentially you're putting your faith in me making this WordPress plugin, sales just didn't happen. So nothing happened for quite a while. And I was back, you know, I was working on freelance projects and I wasn't doing much with Client Portal. I knew there was opportunity. So I really needed to think about, okay, what do I do now? And what I ended up doing was I decided that I wanted to start putting myself out there again. And I decided that I needed to start going on podcasts and I needed to talk about things like freelancing. And I just talk about remote working like I was doing at the conference, because the conference talk that I did is actually ends up being quite a good pitch for Client Portal. So I thought, okay, I need to do that, but I don't want to just sell them Client Portal. I need something else. So I created an email course. It was a 5-day email course on how to onboard your clients. I put a lot of effort into it because I see a lot of people making email courses and I've taken a lot of them. And often they feel a little bit kind of rushed. And I really wanted my email course to be valuable, whether they actually bought Client Portal or not. So I put a lot of effort into that. When I launched Client Portal with the Black Friday deals, what worked really well is having that urgency. So I wanted to put that urgency in my email course. So what happens is every Tuesday, I essentially have a sale for Client Portal. So anyone who's in my email course on Tuesday, once they finish the email course, I'll open up a window saying, okay, from Tuesday until Thursday, you can get a 30% discount for Client Portal. So I do that. And that kind of gets me back the urgency. And it means that my goal then is to just get people into that email course. And I tested this email course a lot. And I've got it to the stage where it converts really well. I posted a tweet about it a while ago. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's got a really high conversion rate. So what I realized was, okay, now I need to get people into that email course. So what I do is I go on podcasts. I'm trying to speak at conferences, but actually I'm typically leaning more towards podcasts just so I don't have to travel as much. Talk about freelancing. And then I say, hey, if you want to know more about, you know, my process, I have this email course, you go to clientexperiencecourse.com, and then you sign up there to the email course, and then you kind of get pitched on Client Portal. And that's worked really well for me. That's probably been a really good thing that I've done to keep that urgency that I got from the initial launch. And it means that I don't feel like I'm constantly selling. The only thing I'm selling is getting people into a free email course, which I don't feel too bad about because I'm confident that the email course is helpful.
Right. No, and that's a good way to do it, right? Is to it's to put your best foot forward. And basically, you've created a course that some people might sell, you know, as a tripwire course. And you put so much time into it and have built this thing that when someone takes it, they're blown away by the quality of it. And you were correct with the URL, clientexperiencecourse.com. And that's for, it's aimed at agencies and freelancers, right? For organizing their client projects and kind of a process for interacting with clients.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like you have so many of the building blocks of what makes a product person successful. And it's, you know, you obviously have the design background, your design on all of your sites, lauraelizabeth.co, designacademy.io, and client portal, really, really sharp designs and just really, really well put. Copywriting is really good. And now you're, you know, you're modeling the entrepreneurs that have come before you, that one of the things you hear so many of us say is email, 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 you know, and you see the value of building that email list. And to have something that's repeatable like that, that you have created, you know, by repeatable, I mean, you're kind of starting to build the flywheel, right? And you're building, as long as you can get people on the course, they're going to buy client portal. And if you have other stuff that's then related to that, such as Design Academy, I know it won't be relevant for your entire audience because it's really aimed at developers, but then you have all these related products and you have this whole ecosystem that you can really offer a ton of value and more value than people are paying, but it becomes kind of a system. You're not just floating out on your own, trying to run Google AdWords to some page somewhere. Like, you know, you have credibility and you offer value up front, and then you show that you offer stuff that's such high quality that for people who need what you're selling, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the ecosystem thing is a really good point. And that's pretty much where I'm trying to take it next. So I'm trying to figure out how I can make everything that I'm doing, you know, I've got things in a lot of different places. I still have my consulting and I have Design Academy, I have Client Portal, and I'm kind of working out how I can make this into something that I can, you know, cross sell between different people. So for Design Academy, there's a good percentage, I think around 30% of my Design Academy audience are freelancers, so it would be relevant to them. Most of them are in-house designers, so Client Portal wouldn't necessarily be relevant to them. But me knowing that 30% of my Design Academy audience are freelancers, it means that I can, you know, cross-sell Client Portal to them at some point. Now, I don't have all these systems in place yet, but that's sort of the next step where I'm taking it, to try and figure out how I can link everything so it's not as sporadic as it feels right now.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, another lesson that I'm taking out of this conversation is something that I screwed up in the early days. This is 2005 to 2008, as I was building and acquiring products. And it's a mistake you are not making. And you are building products that have shared audiences. You know, I had, at one point, I had 10 websites and products and web services, and really almost none of them shared the same audience. You know, it was like designers and people getting married. There was like a wedding site, and trying to think what's the other one, like people interested in bonsai trees. You know, it's just, yeah, duck boats, right? It's just, it was random stuff. And you've built stuff with overlap so you can build that ecosystem.
Yeah.
So I like your headline, designacademy.io. It says design principles for developers taught in a non-pretentious, non-bullshitty way. Did you come up with that?
Yes, it was. It's based on a frustration that I had, and I know a lot of developers share. When I was learning how to design, I really struggled. It took me so many years to get to a level where I thought I was half decent. And I found all design teaching to just be so unhelpful, but so pretentious. It all sounded really good, but putting it into practice was just, it was virtually impossible. So it sort of came out of my frustration of that. And most of my freelancing clients were developers who had this issue where they wanted to, I was working on a project with developers and they wanted to, they always had side projects going on. So one thing I've learned about developers is they're very creative in that they always have tools that they're building and they always have stuff that they're doing. And where they really feel held back is their ability to design. And they really love good design, but they don't necessarily want to actually become a designer. But they want enough knowledge to just make it so they can create their side projects and have them look decent, and then maybe sell them. And then maybe once they've been selling for a while, they can then reinvest some of that money into actually hiring a designer. So really the goal with Design Academy is just to teach developers enough design knowledge to be dangerous without turning them into a designer.
Very nice. And so, Laura, you mentioned that you actually have a discount code for our audience if folks want to get a discount on Client Portal.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested in checking out Client Portal, you can use the discount code STARTUPS and get 30% off, which is the same discount as I do in my email course. So,
sounds good. And that's client-portal.io. Well, Laura, I'd like to switch it up and do something we've never done before here on Startups for the Rest of Us, a lightning round of bizarre questions. You good to do it?
I'll give it my best shot.
It's going to be awesome. All right. So these are like quick answer questions. First one, what is something that is really popular now, but in 5 years, everyone will look back on and be embarrassed by?
The chatbots.
Chatbots. If animals could talk, which would be the rudest?
Flamingos.
In 40 years, what will people be nostalgic for?
Oh, I don't know. People are nostalgic about television right now, live TV. I don't know, mice. The plural for the mouse.
It'll all be, you don't mean the little animals, you mean the computer.
I hope not.
Mice?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And last one, what's the most ridiculous fact you know?
I was looking at interesting facts the other day. Can I Google it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I suck at lightning rounds.
No, I pulled really hard questions. That's the fun part.
I have one on the tip of my tongue. I was literally on Reddit last night and I remember saying something about something that was really, I was on Today I Learned, you know, that Reddit thread. Mm-hmm. And they have a gazillion things, but yeah. Put on the spot.
I figured knowing you, having hung out with you a few times, I figured you would have something. There would be some weird thing about pixel kerning or what is it? Font kerning or something like that. But
yeah, possibly.
Anyways.
Yeah. Possibly, but I'll think of a bunch and then I'm probably just going to be emailing you weird facts for the next year.
So. Oh yeah, that's great. This was definitely a curveball. So I appreciate you participating in the lightning round there.
No problem.
I think that kind of wraps us up for the interview. If folks want to keep up with what you're doing, is it Twitter, Dribbble? What's the best you think?
Yeah, I'd say Twitter. So twitter.com/Laurium, LAURIUM. That's where I'm most active.
Sounds great. I expect I'll see you at another microconf here soon.
Yep, we're going to Vegas, the growth one, I think. So I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool.
If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 1-888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We Are Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.